Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
That's right. I'm here tonight. Amen. We're back again on this Tuesday night. And we thank you for being with us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate Dr. K doing a magnificent program last night. And we, of course, invite you to stay tuned throughout the week for more fascinating and important programming. Well, tonight, I got a call today from Ted Pike, who said, just put out an email. And the email has to do with our friends, I use that word loosely, our friends at the Anti-Defamation League of Bernie Britt, and how they are pushing a new public school hate bill. Well, so Ted says, can I come on? I said, all right, we'll do it tonight. So right now, here we have with us on the line for a little bit, Ted Pike from truthtellers.org. Hello there, Ted.
Oh, hello, Rick. Thanks for having me again.
Yes, it's always a pleasure. Well, now, we see your email that was just sent out yesterday, I believe, that deals with ADL, determined to establish yet another federally enforced promotion and protection of homosexuality in America's primary and secondary public schools.
Yes.
How are they doing this? Through a new piece of legislation, huh?
Yes, it's called the Student Non-Discrimination Act of 2010. The bill number is H.R. 4530. And basically, what it will do is it's like the hate law that was actually signed by Obama in October. It will elevate grade school and high school homosexuals. I can't quite imagine a grade school homosexuals, but ADL considers them a protected species now, and grade school and high school homosexuals will receive special federal protection against any kind of harassment or intimidation in the public school system in America. And if any of these students feel that they have been harassed or intimidated repeatedly to such an extent that they have had to not go to some school function, then automatically that's the point when they can complain to the local homosexual or liberal or feminist district attorney, and that district attorney will invite the federal government in to begin an investigation which could lead to prosecution of fellow students, of faculty, of administrators, of even of parents and religious leaders who may have been involved in that harassment as federal hate criminals.
Well, now, that's interesting because you cite in your email the fact that you've discussed this with the Canadian authorities and how they approach the subject there with their hate laws. And they mention that harassment is considered the cornerstone of prosecution, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I had a long talk with the Vancouver, B.C. hate crimes squad, the leader of that, and I asked this policewoman who was heading up that exactly what they would do if they were very frustrated about nailing some right-winger in British Columbia who was criticizing homosexuals or Jews or whatever, and he hadn't violated the law. He hadn't actually violated the federal hate crimes law of Canada. And she said, well, it's simple. We just nail him. We take him down with a harassment charge because harassment is so ambiguous.
There you are. That's the word. Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes to continue with Ted Pike, my guest, Rick Adams, Uncensored. Indeed, here we are back with Ted Pike. So, Ted, we're talking about this term harassment, and you, of course, raised the question that I think I and everybody else would raise, and that is, who, my goodness, will define what constitutes harassment? Will it be these local ADL-influenced prosecutors and vote-hungry politicians and bureaucrats, or will it be someone other than them?
Yes. Well, the ADL in this present bill and in their cyberbullying bill, which we defeated back in the spring, they say there is a certain bar, a certain measure, a criteria which can be met, and that is the the fact that this is repeated, this is incessant, and this has brought some young person to the point where they are unable to attend some kind of school function. Now, of course, this is all very subjective, and we know how adolescents are, how they are often rivalrous and cruel and manipulative and so on, and yet this legislation would put everything basically into the subjective corner of the young person to inform the government basically when he had reached the point he could no longer tolerate this. This legislation gives that definition of harassment, but it doesn't give any definition of intimidation at all. And mm-hmm. So what we have the possibility of, if this is enshrined in federal law, is that literally any grade school kid, according to his emotions and impatience, can bring literally the federal government rushing down to the state level, down to the county, and to the public school level in his defense.
Yeah, well, we see that pretty much in a lot of these less publicized instances now, where particularly around election time, you'll find some overzealous prosecutors trying to score voting points within the minority community, for instance, try to stir up a pot and look for cases of harassment. There are some, I mean, real cases, and yet many of them have been so, you know, played up and magnified by these politicos and media that they don't resemble anything relating to fact. And on the other hand, as you know, there are cases of the other way, reverse harassment, where Christians in particular have been harassed and have been prosecuted and persecuted in the classroom, expelled, and their parents have had running battles with administrators because they have been harassed simply because of that most precious of precious rights, their religious orientation. And we don't often hear about anything relating to their defense now, do we?
Of course not. And this legislation, just like the hate bill, gives no provision for such reverse discrimination. Heterosexuals, Christians, so on, are if they are victimized, assaulted, or anything like that, then their only recourse is to traditional law. But if you are a homosexual student or claim to be, then just like the hate bill, then the full forces of the federal government and investigation and prosecution are brought to bear on your case. This legislation is kind of unique also in that it says that a heterosexual student, if uh-huh. that heterosexual student in grade school or high school is being pressured repeatedly not to associate with a homosexual student or students, and also finds that the stress upon him is so great that he doesn't want to attend some kind of school function, that heterosexual student can also get the local DA to invite the federal government in to his defense. Also, any student who uh-huh. Who may claim that he is transitioning from male to female or vice versa, transgenders and transvestite students who want to be perceived as the opposite sex, they all are included in this special class of sexual orientation under this bill. And so what we have here is really the most immature and even unstable elements of our society, grade school children, junior high school children, and so on, being able to command the highest powers of government to come to their defense.
Does this sound like a sort of zero tolerance policy?
Well, to say the least, it's hypocritical. But another thing about this legislation, which is very disturbing, is that it really is a green light for the federal government to come in big time on the local level and buttress and support its involvement in defense of young people, young homosexuals, through massive educational uh-huh. programs designed to comfort and console and encourage homosexuals in the youngest members of our population. This again is, we've seen this before. Back in the spring, the cyberbullying bill wanted that, and there was actually an adjunct bill introduced there it was called the Aware Bill, which did exactly this, would infuse federal educational initiatives and support and funding to encourage homosexuality in the youth of our nation, going clear down to kindergarten. Now, this legislation doesn't mention kindergarten. It mentions grade school level. The previous cyberbullying bill and the Aware Bill were attempting to do this. And, in fact, there's another bill, the David Ray Richardson hate crimes bill, which came out last January, called for exactly this kind of thing. I should say, to the encouragement of our listeners, that as a result of heavy calling this spring against the cyberbullying bill and against the Aware Bill, we were able to stop that dead in its tracks. And just a week before the end of the bill, another ADL bill, the Workplace Church Hate Crimes Bill, sailed through the Education and Labor Committee in the House because nobody protested it. And I sent out an email and I said, what's going on here? We're letting ENDA sail through the House committees with no opposition. Mm-hmm. And now we have this cyberbullying and Aware Bill coming in, which provides massive defenses of homosexuals in the school system.
Yeah.
And I got a really strong response going in there. We got people like Louis Gohmert, the arch hate bill fighter in the House. We got others really standing up on their hind legs there in the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime. And they put up such a fight that the liberals joined in with them in mocking the ADL and the liberal forces that were coming in there trying to get that through. And we had something like four or five constitutional law experts who were brought in there, and actually one of them who favored the cyberbullying bill and the Aware Bill actually turned around and started agreeing with his colleagues. It was a rout against the ADL. Now, I'm saying that because I'm doing quite a bit of talk radio this week, and I'm getting a lot of calls coming in from people saying, we're going to throw the bums out at midterms, and maybe we'll even have a violent revolution to take care of this problem. But people are slow to call because they think there's nothing we can do. And the record is that last spring, even though we failed to defeat this hate bill this time around, we did flatly defeat two other very, very dangerous pieces of Antichrist legislation.
Well, now, what I'd like to know at this point in time is, concerning this bill that is being introduced, H.R. 4530, is that who are the key sponsors? I'd like to know who they are.
It's the same lineup. It's the same lineup, and, you know, they're very familiar names, Kucinich, and it's a long list. The same people who support ENDA, the hate bill, all the rest of them are lined up there at the top.
All right, so it's the same motley crew, huh?
Yeah, I could read them all off to you here, but
Well, we get the idea. We know who they are.
Paulus of Colorado is a Democrat, a homosexual, and he's the main one who's being the front man for ADL.
Right, right. Okay, another thing that ties in, interestingly enough, the timing, is Janet Napolitano's statements recently over the weekend having to do with the domestic extremists being as much a, quote, threat as the so-called Muslim extremists overseas, unquote.
Oh,
and
really?
I'd like to address that, if you could stay with us a bit. I'd like to get into that in the next segment and see if there's some overlap here.
Absolutely.
You know, we've been talking about this before, Ted, in previous programs. Seems to me there's some tie-in here, and there's an attempt to sort of paint these Christians in America and militia people and law enforcement people, peacekeepers, you know, returned GIs as a domestic terrorist threat.
Yes.
So you stay with me, and we'll address that as well, okay?
You bet.
Very well. Also, if you have a call or question, ladies and gentlemen, about this legislation or about this agenda of the ADL, if you have a quick call or question, you may dial in at any time at 800-313-9443 while Ted is with us this hour, okay? 800-313-9443. Remember to support Republic Broadcasting Network with a pledge. At this pledge drive time, we go right on the homepage and read all about it. RBN's pledge for donations to keep the network afloat, to keep it producing these kinds of programs, okay? And you don't want to leave them out. You want to remember Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you're listening now, you want to continue to hear, Lord willing, in the future. Okay, we'll come right back to Ted Pike and you, our listeners, in just 3 minutes from now. Rick Adams, Uncensored on RBN. Again, and I'm proud to note that we do have such an increase in listenership over the past few weeks and months now on the Internet, on streaming with us, and I'm very pleased to note that because we are growing and the message is growing and the truth that is being witnessed to here is also growing in these days of apostasy. Now, Ted, what about this business about Janet Napolitano, you know, former governor of Arizona there who certainly was host to many illegal aliens coming into the state and sides, of course, with the hardcore Democratic left? What about her as Homeland Security chief now and her repeated statements about this domestic terrorist threat? What's the tie-in? Do you see the hand of the ADL in this, too?
Well, I certainly do. She was the featured speaker at a big ADL convention in the spring. And like Eric Holder, the attorney general, and others, she gave lavish praise to ADL, you know. I don't quite remember the specifics, but it was the usual line about how much we owe to this venerable organization for protecting the civil rights of oppressed minorities and so on. I do know that it is a fact that the ADL and the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, were involved with the Missouri State Police back in the early spring in an attempt to tar the religious right and veterans and immigration protesters and so on as potential domestic terrorists. And in the MIAC, the MIAC document, they did their very best to get the police of the state of Missouri working as their henchmen, as their lackeys, profiling these people. That came to light. The ADL was embarrassed and exposed, and even the religious right caught on that the ADL was an active player in trying to arouse suspicion against Christians and conservatives. And then just a few weeks later, Napolitano, head of Homeland Security, came out with a very similar statement. It almost sounded like it was also written by the ADL, pointing suspicion and casting aspersions on the danger posed by the Christian conservative right and these militia groups and immigration protesters, etc. The corker really, in my opinion, as far as proving what the ADL intends, was back in November, I believe it was, the ADL came out with a 27-page rage report, which can still be viewed at ADL.org, in which they said that literally millions of anti-Obama protesters and Tea Party people and town hall people are all conspirators. And he didn't just say that they were guilty of creating conspiracy theories or believing it. ADL said they are conspirators because they are involved high and low from the leadership all the way down to the local activists in hatching plots and conspiracies and telling lies about Obama and so on, basically subverting orderly government at this time in history. And so there is a very clear pattern that ADL, Napolitano, Southern Poverty Law Center, and so on are all working hard to create an image of the religious political right as very capable of violence, very capable of sedition, of cooperating with the enemy in the war on terror and so on. And basically they should be not only legally restricted, but be in the crosshairs for possible prosecution.
And then we have these other states, like you have alluded to, the South Carolina Subversive Activities Registration Act, another law which, you know, mandates that every member of any subversive group or organization subject to foreign control, every foreign agent and every person who advocates, teaches or advises, practices the duty, necessity of propriety of controlling and conducting, seizing of overthrowing the government of the United States shall register with the Secretary of State's office.
Oh,
doesn't that tie in too, huh?
Yeah, it certainly does. I think that as I've been doing talk radio this week, I'm kind of disturbed by how many people are actively thinking in terms of violence and in turning away from the legislative process. I've had to remind them that we have defeated the federal hate crimes bill four times resoundingly during the last 10 years. Unfortunately, we didn't do it this last time around because of Obama's power. But we did certainly defeat the cyberbullying bill and the AWARE bill earlier this year. And it's not time to give up on the legislative process. We need to inundate. We need to submerge now the members of the House education.
Yes. Did we lose you? I hear that click.
Oh, thanks.
There you are.
They can move it through quite quietly without controversy.
Yes. Right, right. For a moment there, I thought you got clicked by the Mossad. We lost you for a second.
Oh.
That's interesting what you say about the mood out there now in talk radio. And I think that does tie in. I can certainly understand the passions of Americans. I also think it ties into what the government wants, what some people anticipate as a time of violence to give them the excuse to clamp down.
Exactly.
So this is interesting. Stay where you are, Ted. I want to come right back to this, and we'll take more time with Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, Rick Adams, Uncensored. Well, thank you. Here we are back again with Ted Pike. We'll take a call in a moment or so. Again, Ted, we're talking about, first of all, this new bill that has been introduced in the hopper, having to do with the anti-discrimination bill of harassment for students in elementary and high schools. Homosexuality is the front issue in this case, but of course, as you know and I know, it's just usually a means to an end for the ADL. Try to use something like the homosexual movement for their greater evil agenda. And that's what they're up to. That's what they're pushing, this agenda. Now, the Homeland Security Director talks about the Christians and mentions these extremists in our midst that are very dangerous. She says Americans who turn to terrorism and plot against the U.S. are now as big a concern as the international terrorists. Now, who are these Americans who turn to terrorism? Are they not the government themselves in many instances? And who are these who plot against the U.S.? What does that mean? Does that mean Patrick Henry? And does that mean Thomas Jefferson and others? I mean, who is she referring to here?
Well, I think she's probably referring to LeBron, who shot up the Holocaust Museum just about 1 week before the federal hate bill was scheduled to pass, and I'm not sure that was entirely coincidental. Certainly, there are some fanatics who are guilty and who are perpetuating extremist violent actions, but they are an infinitesimal minority of the American people, and they've always been around to a certain extent. Certainly, back in the '60s during the Vietnam War, we had all kinds of violence and terrorism and public demonstrations and literally burning the cities of America, which was coming from the left. And now here we have somewhat unruly town hall meetings. We have people speaking out vocally in sharp language, but we are not experiencing the kind of violence we had a generation ago, which was very largely tolerated by the liberal media. And yet this bogey is being raised by Napolitano ADL constantly that these people, particularly those among some 10,000 Tea Party members, are capable of violence and have to be watched over at the very least, and legislated against at the best.
It's also interesting that you should mention the 60s radicals and the SDSers and so forth, because as you, I'm sure, are well aware, Gary Allen and many like him have written in their books about how the government itself was financing many of these movements through various front organizations, and the foundations were involved as well in handing over money to radical terrorist groups to get them to do what they were doing. So here we go again. It seems like maybe there's much more here than meets the eye for the casual observer. And when the government is concerned, I get concerned about the government, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
You know, well, when they start worrying about us and they start worrying about people who speak out and hint that they are going to become potential terrorists, well, what they're saying is, if you resist us with the last strength and the last gasp of your breath with arms, if you decide that there's no other way, as the Founding Fathers did, then you are the enemy of our country. When, in fact, that's not true at all. We're the defenders of the country. They are the enemies of the nation and its heritage.
Yes. The Smith Act back in the 1930s or
yes.
40s, it did make it illegal to advocate the violent overthrow of the United States government, even though that does contradict the Constitution. What I have to tell audiences that this week, though, as I'm getting quite a bit of this sentiment that there's nothing left to do but get out the bayonets and go after pistols and pitchforks and march on Washington and throw the bums out, is that we are very much in an ideological warfare. It, to say the least, it's a spiritual warfare, but it's a war of ideas. And I firmly believe, number one, that the pen is still more powerful than the sword. I believe that the legislative options are not exhausted, especially as we are seeing the very hopeful electing of Scott Brown in Massachusetts. And literally, if there's only one or two more conservatives who will vote against this legislation in the Senate, we can literally control the Senate. We can stop all of this legislation.
Ted, when you mention Scott Brown, you're aware, of course, that he is the object now of a lot of angst on the part of Tea Party people and these kosher conservatives whom we referred to in the past during this election cycle in Massachusetts because of his breaking ranks again with the Republican Party on this jobs bill.
Oh,
so he's
right.
Being called a Benedict Arnold, even as you mention him as a conservative.
Well, anyway, that has to
come out, you know?
One thing I've learned in 50 years of watching the political arena is never trust any politician, regardless of what ideology they may get elected under. The political game is inherently one of compromise. It's not that of the prophet or the true righteous spokesman, the watchman on the wall, who has no vested interest in becoming enriched or becoming popular. The whole political process depends on getting elected and telling a large segment of your voters what they want to hear.
Right.
And that's true both on the right and the left to a very large degree. But on the other hand, this Tea Party movement, I believe, is auspicious of a widespread potential 6 months from now at midterm elections to get in a few crucial senatorial seats especially that could really change the balance of power. And I say that to give people encouragement to keep putting pressure on these Democrats, especially right now as this awful legislation is coming through, to let them know
right.
that we're getting awfully close to midterms. We're going to take revenge. We're going to remember in November. And the Democrats right now are starting to soft pedal this pro-homosexual perverted legislation because they would like to begin to portray themselves as more sympathetic to family values and all that kind of thing when they're actually not. And we just have to remind them very powerfully. And mm-hmm. that's why calling in is so important. Could I give the toll-free number to the House right now?
Sure.
Yeah, the toll-free number for your call to your member of the House from your district, the very least you need to do is call your member of the House from your district And I want to encourage people to come to truthtellers.org, read my latest article. I have, at truthtellers.org, we do have all 19 Republican members of the Health and Education Committee that will be considering the Student Discrimination, Anti-Discrimination Act. Call them all. It'll take you less than an hour, only a minute and a half each, to call 19 members of those Republicans. Let's get a fire under them, encouraging them, letting them know this is a hot button issue. We expect them to go out there in the hearings in a few weeks and really fight out, stand on their hind legs and fight for freedom. Their reputation there in the Health and Education Committee is that they haven't done that as they should. They've let the end of bill a triumph there, and people have not protested adequately against end and so on. That's got to change, and it's going to change if you can make top priority tomorrow morning to get some calls going in, not only to your member from your state in the House, but also these pivotal members. They're all at the action page at truthtellers.org. Just go to the home page, click on the action page. You'll find the names of every Republican there on the Health and Education Committee. Now, the toll-free number to the House is 877-851-6437. Again, that's 877-851-6437. The backup toll number is 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. And here's the gist of what I suggest you say. Please do not vote for the Student Non-Discrimination Act, H.R. 4530. This bill denies equal justice. It gives homosexual students special rights over other students in violation of the 14th Amendment. There is little evidence that persecution of homosexual students is a severe national problem meriting federal jurisdiction. And finally, I'd like you to say, if the congressperson votes for this dangerous legislation, I and my friends will vote out Democrats in the midterm election. And again, in my latest article at truthtellers.org on the homepage, you can get this this recommended statement to your members of the House.
Very well, very well. Let's take a couple of calls here and see what our audience has to say. We have first Rita in Texas. Hello, Rita.
Hello, gentlemen. You know, I used to support your guest in the past, but I've kind of changed my viewpoint with regards to some of his message, and I want to explain why. You know, before the he said the pen is mightier than the sword. Well, the American experience is that the pen was reinforced by the sword, by the Declaration of Independence and Lexington and Concord. Because Patrick Henry was talking about these peacemongers with regards to what happened at the Boston Massacre. When he said, peace, peace, there is no peace, the war has actually begun. I don't believe the propaganda that the communists were behind the uprisings in the Civil War. I believe what President Kennedy said, you know, those who make change peaceful and possible make violence inevitable, something along that message. I don't remember exactly, but that was the gist of the message. And I believe that the young people are becoming more and more aware that there is no peaceful resolution for the injustices that are happening in the United States of America. The drug war is making it very apparent to them with regards to the corruption in law enforcement, the corruption with the lawyers, and the corruption with the judges. Your guest is videos are on another website that is called mostholyfamilymonastery.com. But there is a video that is also given with a Dr. Warner who was talking about how there's only one party in the United States of America. It's the Masonic Party. That the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are run by the Freemasons, and the Freemasons are run by the Jews. You know, so, to demonize these people that are exercising the Second Amendment, I think is a great injustice to the history of the United States. And also to, for example, Nathan Hale, who said, I regret that I have but one life, you know, to give for my country. I'm sitting back and I'm seeing this communist regime, and the FBI included, you know, that are trying to demonize that man, you know, who went after, you know, the IRS, which are reinforced by guns, with an airplane. You know, and, you know, I'm just really sick and tired of those, you know, who profess to believe in Jesus Christ, demonizing those who, in their own personal experiences, when war has been declared on them, that they will fight back with force. You cannot, you know, these communism, Nazism, you know, tyranny is never going to be voted out. It's never going to be talked out of existence. It always has required the shedding of blood of patriots. And so, you know, I'm one of those that, you know, like, for example, with regards to the homosexual issue, I'm a Christian. I'm going to say this. It'll be a cold day in hell before I will ever respect or believe that a pervert has a right to practice evil. And homosexuality is evil. The judges who support it are evil. The people in the legislative are evil. And those in the military that are supporting them is evil. You know, so as far as what is going on in the United States, that's not the United States government. This is a tyrannical government. And these are Benedict Arnolds who are violating their oath to uphold the Constitution. And until the American people have had enough, I'm just sitting back waiting for some more action. And it is
all right.
Not going to be peaceful from what I've been able to determine through the history of the United States and the history of humanity in general.
Okay, Rita, I can you make it a little bit more blunt for us? I mean, can you speak a little more strongly? All right, Ted, do you have a response to Rita? Thank you for the call, Rita.
Rick, needless to say, I'm not demonizing anybody. Mm-hmm. I am warning people that the ADL, Janet Napolitano, Eric Holder, all of them are waiting for us to make their day by resorting to acts of petty or major violence or terrorism. That's exactly what they want us to do right now, so
right.
that the Jewish-controlled media can blow that up and destroy the Tea Party movement, blackballing it, blacklisting it, absolutely tarring it as a movement that is prone to violence. Now, I've been around in the political scene clear back into the 50s and 60s. My parents were Christian activists. We prayed and we interceded and we worked and so on to try to bring a conservative religious awakening to offset, at that time, 30 or 40 years of liberal control since the FDR administration. Finally, around 1960, Barry Goldwater came on the scene, Robert Welch and the John Birch Society and so on, and we hoped that we could see a movement to return to Christian conservative values. But the certain statements and certain perhaps extreme attitudes were all it took in this beginning burgeoning movement for the liberal media to seize on the right-wing extremists and demonize Barry Goldwater and so on. And for a full another, let's see, it would be 20 years that the conservative movement was destroyed because of really minor excesses by the religious right at that time. Now, let me tell you, the media is still very capable of doing very serious damage to the Tea Party movement, to the movement we saw building steam this summer. The Jews have a chokehold upon the media, both the print media, electronic media, and so on. And we have to be very cautious. We have to move forward from positions of clear advantage. That's what I do constantly. When I see ADL get out of line, like they did with their toxic rage report, then I go on the attack. When they put 11 Christians in prison like they did in 2005, then I go on the attack. But let me tell you, if you get a bunch of people with their pistols and pitchforks marching on Washington, you're going to be facing down the barrels of tanks. You're going to be facing down the military might of the world's number one superpower. And there's going to be bloodshed, and there's going to be a tremendous reversal and discrediting of everything this movement is trying to accomplish. So I can't just back off. I got to stand exactly where I am.
Okay, Ted.
To use the civilized.
Hang on. We'll come back with more just ahead.
Avenger, the full reveal of talk radio.
Okay, here we are. We're back now with Ted Pike, and certainly Rita's call has stirred up a lot of more calls, so let's go back to the phones. We do have, let's see now, we have Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan. You're up next.
Yes, sir. Great show. Use your Rick. So my question is, the ADL has apparently been documented irrefutably interfering with the Border Patrol action on the border during the process of apprehending illegal aliens crossing the border, but of course, they have too much power and thugs in Congress, but has anybody even tried to do anything to them to prosecute them for basically treason, interfering with federal officers and protecting the border and stopping illegal aliens and arresting them on the spot?
Well, the ADL is an organization which is in blatant violation of federal law right from their most foundational level. The Foreign Agents Registration Act of 1937 says that any lobbying group or any organization which represents a foreign power, which would be Israel in the case of ADL, and does not register as such, is in violation of the law. Now, ADL is Israel's PR representative to the whole world and makes no bones about it that it is a direct agent of the Israeli government. What Mossad does in intelligence and the Israeli Defense Forces do in the actual military conflict, ADL does in suppressing criticism of Israel in the Western world. And yet ADL exists as a 501c3 tax-exempt organization receiving special benefits as if it were an indigenous American organization seeking American values. Now, ADL has done a lot of illegal things. For example, back in 1990, the Spotlight newspaper exposed them for vast covert investigation of 10,000 unsuspecting Americans keeping secret dossiers on them and so on. And many other, in many other instances, ADL has shown itself outside the law, flaunting the law and so on. I'm not exactly well-educated in exactly the circumstances you're talking about with the Border Patrol, but ADL has such power all the way to the highest levels of government, the justice system, and so on, that it's extremely difficult for anybody to bring any kind of action against them.
Do any congressmen or senators, residents, whatever, does anybody do anything up there that in the Congress that do any, or a bunch of wimps, or they've been paid off or whatever, do any of them do anything, any congressman or senator, anybody from any 50 states do anything?
No, there's not a single person in Congress right now who will take on the ADL or the Israel lobby. There are Democrats. Increasingly, there's some 50 Democrats who signed a petition to try to get Israel to get out of Gaza.
Right.
But as far as Republicans are concerned, there is not a single Republican that I know of that would even mention a criticism of the ADL, let alone take some kind of action to bring them to justice.
Well, where is their national office? Are they like in all 50 states and every?
Well, they have a national office in New York, and then they have something like 37 district offices around the country.
Yeah, regional. All right, Dan, that's a good question. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. We're up against the clock, but we do have a second hour to go. We do have a few callers. Would you like to stay a few,
sure.
few more?
You bet.
Okay, Ted. Ted Pike from truthtellers.org. Our number is 800-313-9443 to jump aboard. You have a question here about anything we're talking about, and we started out talking about this bill introduced, H.R. 4530, which is the one that we're talking about. Grade schoolers and high schoolers are homosexual students' special rights and protection over the majority. We'll be back with Ted in just 1 minute. Stay tuned. Rick Adams, Uncensored.